Yeah, yeah, we're just human. We're just human, man. I'm not kidding you. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. Man, this is getting gooder and gooder and gooder. I don't know what part of the country you're from, but around here, gooder is okay. It's a little better than good, not quite fantastic, but it's gooder. And so I'm going to leave it at that. But what we've been talking about is God's blessing on true worshipers and the reality that it leads to the sanctification of His people by His Word and by His Spirit. By His Word and by His Spirit. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want, if you're fast enough. But in John, the Gospel of John chapter 17, in verses 17 through 19, it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into this world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." And so we talked about that last week, but I want to skip ahead a little bit here and say that God's truth has been given to us in three editions, if I can use that terminology. God's truth has been given to us in three editions. And according to John 17 and 17, His Word, it says, His Word is truth. Listen, if God's Word is not truth, we're all in big trouble. Amen? Listen, if you're turning to CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, BR549, PDQ, LMF, that BL549, that's back to Hee-Haw days right there. My old friend El Calmonte, Slim at Wide Trout Ford. I'm sorry, I wandered there. I wandered there just for a minute. If you're relying on those media sources, or even Facebook or Twitter, if you're relying on those sources for truth, man, are you in trouble? God's Word is the only rock solid thing that we have that we can rely on as truth. God's Word has survived the centuries and the centuries. In fact, this year when I was elk hunting, I didn't have radio or anything like that or any connectivity. But because I have some books downloaded on my phone, I was listening to Lee Strobel's book that he wrote from an absolute atheist point of view. And it's called The Case for Christ. And Lee Strobel professed that he absolutely did not believe in the workings of Christ, the cross of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He didn't believe in any of it. But the problem that he had was that he was a journalist. And not just a journalist that prints what somebody else said. He was an investigative journalist. And he began to investigate. And he began to research and search out people that had tenure and had long lists, if you will, of credential behind them that were, you know, and people that, and he checked them out, people that they couldn't find fault with, basically. True scholars of God's Word, and he interviewed them, and he picked them apart, and he picked God's Word apart. But the further he dug, the more he dug, the more research he did, the more it benefited the case for Christ. And the man is now a profound believer in Jesus Christ because he found out that God's Word is exactly what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, that God's Word is truth. And if you don't believe that it's truth, if you'll just spend some time researching, you'll find out that you can't disprove the Bible because it is truth. It is absolute truth. So again, God's truth has been given to us in these three editions. Again, John 17:17 says His Word is truth, and His Son. In John 14:6, it says that His Son is the truth. Amen. His Son is the truth. And then in 1 John 5:6, it says, and His Spirit is the truth. And so this in 1 John 5:6, it says, this is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Lord, I don't know what the call is on the fire call, but I pray, God, that You'd be with Gene and the first responders and everybody involved. In Jesus' name, amen. So we need all three of these elements of truth if we are going to experience what we're talking about as far as true sanctification. In other words, what we need is a sanctification that touches every part of our inner person. And again, we have to remember that to be sanctified means to be set apart. Christ, we talked about last week, the reality that Jesus Christ sanctified Himself. Do you realize that He sanctified Himself from heaven? He set Himself apart from the glories of heaven and came and for 33.5 years lived here among us. Amen? Endured the ridicule and all the things that you've read about in His Word. So He was set apart. And it is with our mind that we learn that God's truth comes through the Word. With your mind. It is with the mind that we learn God's truth through the Word. It's with the heart that we love God's truth, His Son. And it is with the will we yield to the Spirit and live God's truth day by day. We can't come together and just believe in God as the truth on Wednesday night or on Sunday morning or on Sunday night or when the women get together on Thursday or when the men get together on Friday. You can't, it's in those moments we can't say, oh yes, I'm all about it. No, it's got to be on Tuesday afternoon and on Monday morning and Saturday night. Every day of the week, God's Word remains true. An interesting thing is happening around my house in this construction process, because we'll be going along and we'll be working and we'll be doing something and somebody will make a mistake. Somebody will make a mistake. And you know, I got both arms and a leg in the air because I am pretty prone. But you know what? The first thing that we always say when we realize we've made a mistake, we've not taken time to pray before we've got to work. And we stop right there and we pray. And it is amazing how well the remainder of the day goes. Listen, just... Wow. You go ahead and talk. I'm going to drink water. That'd be a good plan, brother. And pray for me while you're at it, would you? God bless your heart. That didn't go well. Anyway, I'm going to move along while I still have a church. So again, let me just back up real quick and say this, because I want you to understand the correlation, the connectivity of what we're talking about with your mind and the heart and the will. Listen, if you don't submit your will to God, your heart and your mind are just going to be out there doing their own thing. And so it is with the mind that we learn God's truth through the Word. You have got to spend time in God's Word and familiarize yourself. We go through all kinds of undue struggle because we don't find out what God said in His Word about my life. Well, it doesn't say anything about this area of my life. Yes, it does. You just haven't read it. That excuse doesn't work. It's with the mind that we learn God's truth through God's Word. And it is with the heart that we love the truth of God being His Son. And it is with our will that we have to yield to the Spirit and live God's truth day by day. So it takes all three for you and I to have a balanced experience of sanctification. That makes sense? It takes all three of them for us to have a balanced experience of sanctification. It's not enough merely to study the Bible and learn the great deal of doctrinal truth. You have to love Jesus more as we learn all that He is and all that He's done for us. Listen, if you don't love Jesus more today than you did the day you got saved, something's wrong. I can tell you that when I got saved and fell in love with Jesus, I really loved Jesus. But I've walked through some things in my life. Jesus has lived up to the truth of His Word that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the ends of the earth. Listen, and I'm not bragging about this, but I feel like in a lot of ways in my life, I have put Him to the test. And you know what I've found out? He has never left me. Not one time has He ever left me. And you know what else? He never will. He never will. So we can't just study the Bible. We have to apply it and recall and all that He's done for us. We need learning and loving should lead to living. Let me say this again. Learning and loving should lead to living. Should lead to living by allowing the Spirit of God to enable us to obey His Word. Well, Pastor, on Monday, I was doing really good after church. On Monday, I was doing great. I mean, I was remembering some things that you said on Sunday, and I was doing great. But by Tuesday, I was really struggling with some things. And so I guess it's just not catching hold. Nope, you just need to keep hanging on. You just need to keep getting back in God's Word. You need to just keep reading God's Word. You just need to keep praying, asking God to give you insight into these things. We have to learn that loving Christ will lead to living for Christ, and by allowing His Spirit to enable us to obey His Word. It's how we glorify Him in this present evil world that we find ourselves living in. It's the only way you can. Sanctification, church, is not for the purpose of selfish enjoyment or boasting. It is so that we might represent Christ in this world and win others to Him. When you're sanctified, when you've been set apart by the Holy Spirit of God, the world will notice. The world will notice. And the world might make fun of you. They might harass you. They might ridicule you. But remember this, I'll always rather stand and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. Amen. Don't ever forget that. Jesus set Himself apart for us, and now He has set us apart for Him. So the Father sent Jesus into the world, and now He is sending us into the world. Amen? How many of you realize that He did not send the disciples out one by one? Yes, sir. Oh, you had your hand. Oh, okay, I got you. You're like, I do. I thought, yeah. It's all right. He sent the disciples into the world two by two. Why? You'd think He could cover more ground if He sent all 12 in 12 different directions. You need a prayer partner. You need somebody to hold you accountable. And the Bible says that two bring a greater return than one. If one of you falls in the ditch, somebody can pull you back out. Trust me, anymore, I don't go too far without somebody to help me out of the ditch. Amen. Woo! Oh. So Jesus is now set apart in heaven. He's set apart again. He's went from here back to heaven. He's set apart in heaven. What's he doing? He's praying for us. He is praying for us. He is making intercession for us that our witness will bear fruit as many repent of their sins and turn to the Lord. How can we be overcome by the world when we have the Word of God to enlighten us, to enable us, and to encourage us? This is a question. How can we be overcome by the world when we have the Word of God to enlighten us, to enable us, and to encourage us? You know, you should let somebody else have a turn. Listen. If you're not staying in God's Word, it will overcome you. The world will overcome you. We have got to stay. Listen, why does it always come back to food? I don't go very long without eating, without taking on some sustenance, some nourishment, right? And if I did, by chance, I would start to get weak. Really weak. I mean, people's minds start playing all kinds of tricks on them, all kinds of stuff. Why? Because we need nourishment to stay strong. It's the same way with your spirit. You've got to feed your spirit with the Word of God, or your spirit will become weak. Your mind will begin to play tricks with you. You will begin to do things that you would not have normally done had you been in God's Word. I'm speaking from experience, folks. I'm not just up here. I don't live in a glass house. My life has not been perfect. My life has been a wreck more often than not. So I know what I'm talking about. Amen. Daily. Did I say that? Daily application of God's Word has a purifying effect on our minds and our heart. Daily application. Tammy sleeps on that side of the bed. I sleep on this side of the bed. My nightstand's over here where my phone is, where the Bible is being played for an hour every night. For some reason, she can't hear it very well on her side of the bed. So I have to turn it up so loud that I can't hardly sleep. But we are feeding. I'll make up for my sleep later on. But we're feeding ourselves. We're putting it in our mind. Applying God's Word. Listening to God's Word. It purifies it. It helps you sleep, man. I believe it helps us sleep. Daily application of God's Word has a purifying effect on our minds and our hearts. See, Scripture, we're not going to maybe like this, but it's got to be said. Scripture points out sin. Scripture points out sin. Listen, it doesn't stop there. It motivates us to confess. It also renews our relationship with Christ and guides us back to the right path. Amen? Scripture points out sin. It motivates us to confess. It renews our relationship with Christ and guides us back. Jesus set Himself apart to do the Father's will like a priest consecrating himself to make the sacrifice. There was a process that the priest had to go through to prepare themselves to offer the sacrifice. Jesus' final act of dedication was His offering of Himself on the cross. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, we'll talk about it. We're not going to go there tonight. The purpose of that death was so that the disciples and you and I and everybody that names the name of Christ might be entirely, entirely God's possession. Listen, if you're a brand new Christian or if you've been walking with the Lord your entire life and you're 80 years old, at no point in between there are you partly God's possession. Nobody, not one woman in this place tonight that has given life to a child was ever a little bit pregnant. Ladies, am I right? You ain't never been just a little bit pregnant. You either all the way pregnant or you are not pregnant at all. You're either a child of the Most High God entirely or you are not a child of God at all. Jesus died to set you and I apart for Him. Have you ever heard the expression carnal Christians? Ford tough. Sorry. Nothing. Never mind. Think about what the word carnal means. What does it mean? Fleshly? Worldly? So you tell me, how then can there be a carnal Christian? It's a lie is what it is. It is not the truth. Jesus died to set us apart, no matter the cost. No matter the cost, the glory of God was to be done. Perfect obedience to God was the chosen way of salvation. Being set apart to serve and to worship God is really what salvation is all about. We have been set apart to worship Him. I feel like I missed out tonight because I wasn't here in part of the worship service. I feel like I missed out. Because we were created to worship Him, to praise Him. I was stressing out, freaking out, because I didn't have this half of this page of notes. Perfect obedience to God is the chosen way of salvation. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us set apart to serve Him and to worship God. That's what it's all about. This is the reason that Jesus prayed for His disciples to be sanctified. Listen to what it says here in Ephesians. Remember when I said that it was by the Word and the Spirit that we are sanctified? Listen to what it says here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's the plan. That's the purpose. That's the goal that is set before Almighty God. See, this washing that is talking about here, especially in the context of husbands and wives and marriage and all this kind of stuff, the washing here is probably alluding to, figuratively, to the bride's prenuptial washing. Okay? The bride's prenuptial washing. If you get into this and begin to study this stuff out, it's crazy what they had to go through. After this washing, now the bride was perfumed. She was anointed and she was arrayed in wedding clothes. The betrothal ceremony in Judaism also came to be called the sanctification of the bride. She was literally set apart for her husband. The church, Christ has set the church apart for Himself. He wants to wash us. How does He wash us? He washes us through the blood and through the Word. The Word, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Word naturally refers to the saving gospel of Christ. And so today, Christ is in fact cleansing His church through the ministry of His Word. It goes back to what I've been saying this whole night, that it's the Word of God, it's the Spirit of God, it's the Son of God that sets us apart. We've got to get in His Word. It's the church is being cleansed through the ministry of His Word. You can read about it in John 15 and 3 and again John 17 and 17. The church today, however, is not perfect. It does have some spots and it does have some wrinkles. Spots, oh boy, spots are caused by defilement on the outside, while wrinkles are caused by decay on the inside. Some of us are getting older. Some wrinkles showing up. There's a process going on inside of us. We're getting older. I thought about this. We've been dying since we was born. And we're going to keep dying until we're alive. Think about that. We're going to keep right on dying until we're alive. And when we are alive, we will be alive in Christ forevermore. Ha-ha! Amen? So because the church becomes defiled by the world, it needs constant cleansing. And the Word of God is the cleansing agent. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I need a cleansing from the fountain. My soul is thirsty, God, a craving. Sorry. Not sorry. James chapter 1 and verse 27 admonishes us, keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Romans says that we're to be in the world, but not of the world. If we're not staying in God's Word, it will be difficult to be in the world, but not of the world. Because the lines get fuzzy. They get blurry. But when you are staying in the Word of God, the line becomes vivid. When we're snapping lines on our project, sometimes we've got blue line. Sometimes we got red lines, right? The red lines are amazing. They don't come off. In fact, Tom told me that it says right on the package, and I haven't got a package to check it out, but it says there's no known way, isn't that what you said? No known way to clean the red line off. I want to have that line so embedded in me that there is no way to get that line off. That line is the bloodline of Jesus Christ. I've been washed in the blood. It is more than all of that. I am washed. As the church is nourished by the Word, as we begin to be nourished, the wrinkles ought to disappear. Strictly speaking, there should be no wrinkles in the church because wrinkles are evidence of old age and internal decay. I want to be growing in the Lord. I don't want to be growing from the dinner table. I want to be growing in the Word of God and in my relationship with God and those kinds of things. The wrinkles ought to be disappearing. And so like a beautiful bride, the church ought to be clean and youthful, which is possible through the Spirit of God and by using the Word of God. You watch these little kids run around in this place on Sundays. I had my grandkids over at the house picking up nails and pounding staples in the wall. And they were so excited and they had so much energy. And I'm going, oh, God. Don't you want to have that kind of vitality that like them little kids? It can happen according to what I'm studying and what I'm talking about, being sanctified. We can't have just a little bit of God. We can't just have a little bit of a relationship with Jesus. Amen? He wants us lock, stock, and barrel. And He wants us to be youthful. How many of you... I want to be youthful. If I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. That's for sure. One day, the church will be presented in heaven, a glorious church at the coming of Jesus Christ. One day. One day. And then, folks, we are going to be renewed. Renewed. Be able to get up and not be going, oh, man. I mean, jump to your feet, take off running. Isn't that what you want? Church, we got to get in God's Word. We got to get close to His Son. And we got to be filled with His Spirit. Amen? Those are the three things. The Word, the Son, and the Spirit. And I think we'll begin to see change. I think we'll be able to see change physically in our own lives and spiritually in the life of our body. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful tonight for Your Word. Wow, Your Word is so exciting and it's so refreshing, Lord, when we just get together and study Your Word. It just is refreshing, Lord. And Father, I just pray that You would help us, God, to be sanctified and set apart like a beautiful bride, Lord, clean and youthful, because we've been in Your Word, we've been in Your presence, and we're filled with Your Holy Spirit. Now, God, guide us, watch over us, keep us safe the remainder of this week. I pray, God, for tomorrow when the ladies gather together, Lord, that You would be there in the midst of them. Lord, that they would glean from one another and glean from Your Word. Father, I thank You for it. Lord, I pray a special prayer tonight, God, that as I perform this funeral service tomorrow for a very precious family, dear to my heart, God, that You'd give me the strength to get through it all, Lord, and in some way, God, glorify You and honor the family. And Father, I just thank You for it. Lord, I pray again for the sick in our body, for the hurting in our body, for the downcast in our body. Lord, Fred is still under the weather and sick. I pray, God, that Your healing virtue would just course through his body right now in the name of Jesus. Father, any other people in our body that are sick, I pray, God, You'd touch them. Lord, for battles that are being fought in this body, Lord, where the enemy is coming in and he's trying to disrupt and distract and discourage and destroy. Lord, we come against that devil and we say, you have no authority. You have no right in this place. We are children of God. Our families are families for God. And we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen and encourage and bring solidity in those marriages, in those families, in those homes. Lord, even in our schools, God, in every area, Lord, would you be the very focal point, God, of all that we do and all that we say. And Father, for that, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. Hey, thanks for watching tonight by way of the internet. I pray that you're getting something out of this Bible study, more than just something to do for 45 minutes on Wednesday night. God bless you. God go with you. We'll see you later.